Chapter 11. I knew there was one person I could trust to talk to about Daniel. My cousin, Reza. And luckily, we were going up to Manchester to visit a couple of days after the sand disaster. I was bursting to ask him whether he'd heard about Muslims getting kicked out. Did Daniel just make that pat up? Could it possibly be real? Reza is super cool. He's 12. He's the kind of kid that knows a lot about everything. If anything happens to his bike, he can fix it using his dad's tools. And I've even seen him topping up the oil in his mum's little red car, which he calls a banger. And when we walk around in Manchester with him and his family, lots of people always say, hi. Reza must have really great pester power skills, or maybe he knows hypnosis, because he literally has everything he wants. That's one of the reasons I love going there, because we have 2 days of playing on his Xbox as much as we want, and we always have a midnight feast. Yum. I'm pretty sure almost every Muslim family has cousins in Manchester. I was wondering if they were all as interesting as mine while I finished packing my rucksack, when my dad shouted up the stairs, "Get in the peanut, everyone! We're leaving in 2 minutes!" You might be wondering how we could all fit into a peanut. We can't. This is what we call the peanut. It's a 4x4 car, but look at the number plate. P-E-1-4-N-U-T. There are some things that always happen on our road trip to Manchester. 1. Mum packs too much food for the journey. 2. Dad complains when he's putting the luggage in the car. 3. We always stop at the services and eat hot food, so Mum's journey food is uneaten. 4. Dad says, "I told you so." As we were loading the car with all our stuff, Mrs. Rogers came out into her front garden to put a bag in the dustbin. But instead of just going back inside, she stood and watched us with suspicious eyes. I waved at her and gave her my best to smile just to see what would happen. She gave me her best blank expression. She must be the meanest person on the planet after Daniel Green. When we were on the motorway, Issa started saying he needed a wee. "But it's only been 40 minutes," said Dad. Mum said, "I knew I shouldn't have given you the apple juice." Dad said he had to hold it until we got to the services. But Mum said he was only little and couldn't hold it that long. Mariam said we should have put a nappy on him because he's a big baby. Dad said to stop being so rude. I hate it when we're stuck in the car and everyone's been all stressed out, and I also hate the thought of Issa weeing on the seat right next to me. I mean, how yuck. I would end up sitting in a puddle of his wee. So I stared out of the window and imagined myself on my rollerblades, riding alongside all the cars and faster than them. So fast that there was a jet of fire blazing out of the back of them. And then I said, "Rollerblades, lift off!" And they took me all the way to the moon. I don't actually have any rollerblades. And I don't know how to roller skate. But that's the great thing about imagining. You can do anything you want. Except we. For that, we had to stop on the hard shoulder so Issa could let it out. I asked my parents why it was called the hard shoulder. Nobody knew. This is why my parents should let me have my own smartphone. Because then I could have just looked it up myself. That night, while we were pretending to be asleep on our row of mattresses on Auntie Samaya's living room floor, Reza told me that Daniel was right. All Asians were going to be kicked out of the country. I gulped. He told me that we would all have to go and live in Pakistan. "Have you ever been to Pakistan?" I said. "Yeah, once, when I was 5. "What's it like? Will we like living there?" I felt sick. I didn't want to live in a strange place I'd never been to. The 5 bars of chocolate that we had snuck into our beds and eaten attempted to make their way back up my throat. "Well, the pizza is yuck, and you can hardly understand what anyone's saying," Reza said. "Why?" "Because they speak in Urdu. You can't speak Urdu, can you?" "No." I lay awake for ages after Reza had fallen asleep. I imagined his quiet, snoring sounds were from H2O instead, and that my pillow was resting on H2O's back. It made me feel better to know that wherever we had to move to, I could take him with me. At breakfast, there was such a big feast of food on the table that I forgot all about Daniel and Pakistan. Uncle Fahad had even pulled out last night's leftover chicken wings.
What's that? Asked Isa.
Meat, said Dad. Where did it come from?
A chicken. Did it lay it?
Everyone burst into laughter, and Uncle Fahad choked on his juice.